This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Men's Centre in Nanaimo provides support and referrals to men and their families, from practical assistance to general support. Theo Boer is their Executive Director and joins us to share some of his current concerns and interests.
Welcome, Theo Boer, to People First Radio.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you and Grant Waldman, the Director of the Cowichan Men's Centre, were interviewed in 2010 on People First Radio. What do you think has changed for men in Canadian society in the 4 years since then?
I think there are still a lot of attitudes in our society that either inhibit men or create barriers to change. And there's a variety of examples that we could cite that are currently happening in our society. One is the Bill C-560, which is just been defeated in Parliament by a vote of, I think it was 174-80, so more than 2-1. And this is an equal parenting bill, which essentially would entrench the rebuttable presumption of equal parenting, which means you start out with that position. Doesn't mean that, you know, parents are always going to split having their kids 50-50. But it's a starting point rather than what we do in family court right now, which is you throw two parents in and they argue about who should get how much time, and it just turns into a much more adversarial process than starting at an equal parenting point. So it boggles my brain a little bit as to why our MPs in Ottawa would actually defeat this bill. There's a number of lobby groups that I think played a significant role in the bill not passing. But the bottom line is this is something that would benefit our children. Children need both parents in their lives, unless there's some significant abuse of some sort or something along those lines that would prevent contact. Kids need both mothers and fathers. So to have our politicians basically say no and to use the red herring of this is not in the best interests of children is, to me, very bizarre. And I don't think this would happen if we were talking about mothers losing their children. One of the things that this bill addresses, though it's not gender specific, but one of the things that the bill attempts to address is the fact that a lot of fathers are losing their children through family court. They're either shut out completely or they're relegated to visitor status. And it's impossible for a father to have a relationship with a child, seeing them every second weekend and maybe one night in between there. That's not a relationship. That's, you know, your dad's visiting. So that's one of the things it would have attempted to rectify. And I don't think there would have been opposition if the underlying issue was mothers getting access to their kids or mothers having healthier relationships with their kids. The consequence of that is, if we look at our society, and when I say our society, you know, I mean Western society, Canada, the States, Australia, Britain, we have an epidemic of kids growing up without their fathers. And the research related to that in terms of what happens to kids who grow up without their fathers, it's totally scary. 65% of attempted teenage suicides are by kids who have been growing up without their biological fathers. Yeah. All the statistics from crime, teenage pregnancy, drug use, dropping out of high school, they're all over 50% for kids growing up without their biological fathers. Again, going back to Parliament, it boggles my brain.
This leads into what I was going to ask you about next, which is how our attitudes and beliefs about men and women affect our response to difficulties that men might be facing. And that's certainly one really important area, is in the problem that men may have in keeping connected with their children when there's a marital breakdown.
Well, you know, it's very innocuous. And even I, sort of living these issues for a dozen years, find myself sort of scratching my head and going, well, how did I miss that? One example that comes to mind for me is somebody forwarded a commercial to me the other day. It's by a major hardware chain. You may have seen it. And it depicts a father and a couple of kids in the kitchen. And the mother is executive away on a business trip somewhere. And they're having a Skype conversation over the computer. And you see the dad and the couple of kids, you know, framed by the computer. And there's a pristine kitchen in the background. And how's it going? It's going fine. How are you kids eating? Oh, we're eating really healthy. We're all really happy. Everything's great. So they have a little conversation. And then the Skype conversation ends and the camera pans back and you see a kitchen that's a total disaster. There's food on the walls. There's obviously junk food wrappers and pizza and, you know, they're not eating healthy. And this is a joke. So, yeah, it's funny. But is it funny? Because what does this commercial really say? Fathers are incompetent. They need to be checked up on by the mother. They don't know how to cook or take care of the kids. They don't know how to clean. Basically, it's a message that depicts fathers as incompetent. And so why is that funny? Because I don't think it's true, first of all. But it's so ingrained in our society that, one, you know, this company feels, or the advertising company with the approval of the hardware company, thinks it's fine to put this out. You reverse the situations in terms of the genders. I'm not so sure that would pass the company censors. The other part that I find really interesting is that it's so ingrained in our society that I myself didn't even catch it until it was pointed out to me. That's how much it's part of our culture.
The British charity Mankind Initiative says that 40% of domestic abuse victims in the UK are men, which meant that last year 720,000 men in the UK are believed to have experienced domestic abuse. How do you think that would compare to statistics in Canada?
The statistics around domestic violence is a real battleground these days. And I think it's interesting because, you know, one thing I would say is the statistics that I'm aware of is that domestic violence in Canada and the States is pretty much 50-50 in terms of who perpetrates what. In fact, the more detailed studies show that 50% is mutually perpetrated, and the other 50% is relatively split evenly, depending on the study. Now, there's some incredible studies out there. Martin Fibert is one. He's from, I think, the University of California in Los Angeles. He did a meta-analysis. I think there's about 250 studies that he's combined with a I think the sample together is something like 300,000 people. And these are studies mostly from North America, but there are some from other parts of the world. And same result. You know, but when I say these things to people, I get the kind of reaction that you saw in the video that I sent you around domestic violence. People poo-poo it. They don't want to hear it. I've brought it up with politicians in Victoria, and they've basically advised me, you don't want to go down that route because nobody wants to listen to that. It's, again, it's just so ingrained in our society that we need to protect women and children. And how could men possibly be victimized through domestic violence? You know, because they're bigger. Why don't they just stand up? Or I don't really understand the rationale completely. I do from a social point of view in that, you know, our society is changing. Now, I took a look at your website. Part of the social attitudes that I noticed when you posted the advertisement on your website or the notice on your website about me being on your show today, I also noticed that underneath it there was four links that were added about, you know, other things you might be interested in. what I found really interesting about that was that they were all about domestic violence and women. None of them had anything to do with men or men in violence. You know, that's not to say, and I would be the last person to downplay the importance of the programs that we have to deal with women who are being victimized by violence. I think some really important work is being done in our province, particularly around that. There are some big pieces missing. One of the real oddities that seems to be happening right now is, my understanding is that the government is starting to free up a little bit of money for resources for men. The really odd thing about it is that a significant portion of that seems to be going to women's organizations, which is not to say that some of those organizations aren't competent and couldn't run some good programs for men. However, if you flip the genders, I think there would be a bit of an outcry if the government said they were going to give us $2 million to run programs for women. And from my perspective, as a male and as someone who runs a men's center, I find it a little twisted.
Is there something you'd like to say about what it might take to change those attitudes or to begin to shift them?
I think men's centers and women's centers need to work together. I think that we have evolved as a society where women needed to stand up and claim rights that they didn't have. And I'm not saying that struggle is completely finished, but there remains an inequality between men and women on a number of different fronts. And one of them is in the family arena, where I think fathers get the short end of the stick. And right now, the other arena I think that's really large is around domestic violence, where we've created all these domestic violence programs basically aimed at women, but we're not really looking at both sides of the equation, regardless of who the perpetrator is, whether it's male or female. And there are very few resources for men. So how do we change the social attitudes? I think that's a huge thing. But on a local level, I think that we should be working together with the Women's Center and with Haven Society, and I would welcome that.
Thank you very much for joining us today. It's much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me on.
That was Theo Boer, Executive Director of the Men's Center in Nanaimo.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.